Hey, babies! Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. Babies, I'm here with none other than Brittany Ferlin.
And
Nina DeWina!
Yay!
Nina is the star of this show.
She's a long-haired wiener dog, and she's my bestest friend in the whole wide world. Can you tell she's a person, kind of?
She's like a person. Look at how she's looking at you.
She's human. Like, her, she's very soulful. She'll look deep into your soul. And she's my child, like an actual child. I don't care what the government says, okay? You know what?
I hope she likes me.
She's just very nervous because she's part human. And I think that she's been on this
earth many
times.
She understands the situation that she's going to have to perform for this podcast and like be cute.
Yeah, she's like, well, she's just, I think like sometimes, I mean, this is so weird to say, but I think, I don't know if I totally believe in reincarnation, but I kind of do. Because I feel like she's been here many times before. Her soul is very deep. And then we have Teeny the Weenie, who's like our new wiener dog, who's, this is her first time here for sure. Cause she's just like, and like everything is new and happy. And she like loves everyone. She's not jaded or scared by anything. She's like, what is this? Like she's very.
I totally agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she's a new soul.
I look
soul.
At my nuggy in the eyes and I could tell there's
soul,
a real like understanding person in there. And then my Apollo, who I adore.
Yeah, he's like it's like their first or second time.
Food. And then he's like, oh, somebody came to the door. Let's show him where everything is. Come on. Here's the TV. Here's the
safe. Oh, my God. I love it.
You know, and the other ones are like, you know, Nuggie's more vigilant. But my Australian just acts like he's going to eat you alive.
Aww.
You know. But so I've got like three different, totally different personality dogs. So
they're funny. Human, I think. I don't care what people say. I don't care. Like, and they just made a rule. I was flying with her to New York and she's my emotional support animal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because I need a lot of that. And so I went through like so many hoops to like bring her to like my psychiatrist and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, okay, yeah, like she's calm. You have to stay, you have to see that they're calm and like can chill and all this stuff. You can bring them places, and then signed off on it. And then I go to travel on the plane and I was traveled with her for years. Now, all of a sudden, because people abused it so much, they don't do any more emotional support. So unless you are like you have a physical disability or then you need an actual service, like the dog has to bring you medicine
like
or whatever, right? Or something. They don't care. And I'm like, what if I'm fucking crazy and this dog is the only thing that makes me calm? And they're like, doesn't matter. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. It's so weird. That's another thing that I hate. It's like if your illness doesn't show, then it's not a real illness, which is like so bothersome to me. You know what I mean?
It is frustrating on both sides. Like the person who's around someone who has mental illness and the person who has it.
Yes.
Both don't have something that you can quantify, that you can see, that you can predict. And so what happens is the person who is in your life, in the life of someone who's mentally ill, takes everything personally and takes it as if you are full with your faculties, when sometimes you're a little off and you say something and it wasn't meant to be taken that way. But there's no crystal ball to say, oh, that was a comment that I wasn't supposed to take personally because it was an off moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes they can if they get to know you. But then the other part of it is when the person's suffering from any kind of emotional or mental illness or whatever, that other people don't receive them well, and they get constant weird or negative or whatever feedback, and they don't have as much control over what they're saying or doing as they wish they did, maybe.
Yeah.
And so it's like this whole,
it's really a tricky thing. It's hard when you don't have one. And I, like, my husband is very, which is crazy because he's a psycho, but he's like done every drug in the world, but he's very normal. He doesn't have anxiety. He doesn't have depression. He doesn't have emotional, like, anything. He's just kind of like, all right, yeah, sick. Like, that's, like, how he is. And I'm, like, an empath, and I feel everything, and I'm emotional, and I have a really bad anxiety disorder where, you know, I get overwhelmed by too much, you know, whatever, and I have to take medicine to it so I don't freak out, and CBD. And And he, when I'm having an anxiety attack, like I have panic attacks, mm-hmm. and when like I feel like I can't breathe, my heart rate goes to like 170, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm shaking, my teeth are chattering, and he's like, why don't you just like calm down?
We just had this conversation.
Why don't you just like calm down? Say. I'm like, oh, fucking thanks, dude. Like, I didn't even think about that. Maybe I should just calm down. Like, really? Like, he doesn't get it that it's like not under my control. It's just like because of what I've been through in my life, it just naturally happens that I, you know, something will trigger me. I don't even know right. what it is. It could be a color. It could be something on a TV screen. All of a sudden, I'll start shaking and I'll be like, uh-huh. what the fuck? And I hate it. And he'll be like, I'll just calm down. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't think that. Or,
you know, I have people in my life that have anxiety, and it took me forever to learn about it.
You
and
don't
to
have
understand
anxiety?
It. I don't really.
No, you
I
drink like 7 cups of coffee a day, huh?
I do.
Jesus Christ.
I'm high strung. I would say I worry, but I don't have anxiety attacks. So when I'm around somebody like that, by the way, I'm not good at psych. I did psych rotations in med school and it just did not go well. I just am not good at
you're
it.
All,
I'm
well,
not
just
good
calm
at,
down to
pull
all the
yourself
patients.
Together. Just
that
pull
was
yourself
you. You're
together.
Like, well, just calm down. Stop talking to the voices.
Yeah, stop talking
don't
to
talk
the wall
back to them.
And stop
and
banging
go
your
away.
Head. And that would be me.
Yeah.
And the people in the psych ward would be like, if that worked, you know, they probably wouldn't be here.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
And so my thing though, with the more common, which is like an epidemic now these days, is anxiety is to tell people, you know, really if you look around, everything's okay. I mean, honestly, like look around, everything's okay. And they're like, I hate you.
Oh, no. I mean,
because
that is
everything is okay, but it's not okay inside of me. So it's like something you have to start to understand and be more empathic with, in the sense of what's going on inside of me is not what's going on inside of you. And I can't just say a few words and you're like, okay, I'm good.
I wish that someone who didn't have anxiety, who thinks it's just like, oh, you're just annoying and like, oh, anxiety. Like what? I wish they could feel it for mm-hmm. 1 second, because the way my anxiety is it's like so physical where my heart pounds so hard and so fast that you literally think you're gonna die, and it even skips beats. Like I have like a little at-home EKG thing that like my anxiety is so physical, I sweat, I get hot, and I feel like I can't breathe. And like, it's like—
And it's not triggered by any specific things that—
It's a lot to do with, well, I'm an introvert, and so which is crazy because you wouldn't guess it, because when I get in front of a camera or something, I'm very outgoing, but I'm secretly very shy. Mm. And so when I go out in public, or if I go anywhere really far from like home mm-hmm. or like far from a hospital, like if I'm in the middle of nowhere, I get very triggered because I'm like, what if something happens and I need to go to a hospital and there's no hospitals, you know? And it's very health related. It's very, because it's so physical, it became like health related. It became like, you know, it's called health anxiety and like cardio something, where I'm constantly obsessing about my heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
Like I feel it too much.
That's where
I
you
think
feel
about it.
It
too much, because that's where I feel it the most. Yeah. It's weird. I've done EMDR therapy, that helped a lot, and the CBD helps a lot. But
And Nina,
you know, that stuff has all helped. But I don't think the thing that people understand is that, like, you know, it doesn't just go away. Okay, so you can get better. Right? You can get better in terms of living your life and not being a prisoner to your mental illness, but people don't understand that you're not just going to wake up one day and go, I'm great forever. Like, it's going to be good for a while, and then you're going to have a slip up. You know, I'll go months without a panic attack and I'll be like, I'm cured. And then out of nowhere, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up and be, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? You know, but it doesn't mean that, you know, they say healing isn't linear. It's just, it goes like this, and you just got to ride the wave and be grateful for the good days.
Yeah.
So I am.
And you say it's not curable. It's treatable.
It's treatable.
It's
exactly.
Treatable,
exactly.
And you try to manage it, but it's not like, okay, today that's it. You're never going to deal with this again.
Right.
So it's
right.
kind of, yeah, it's kind of
it's
hard to
scary,
go through life not knowing when it's going to pop up and when it's going to hit you.
And it sucks, because I've been on an antidepressant, a really gnarly one called Effexor, XR. And anyone who's listening to this who knows about Effexor, it's one of the hardest ones to get off of, because for some reason your brain becomes so addicted to it that when you try to get off of it, you have like similar heroin withdrawal. And so I started on like 150 milligrams when I was 16, and now I'm at the starting dose of 37.5, and I've been on that for years. I weaned myself all the way down because I wanted to be off and see if I could do it, but I mean, I was off for a year completely, and I couldn't tell if it was the withdrawal from the Effexor or my anxiety, but like I started not being able to walk straight. Mm. I was dizzy. I had vertigo constantly. I felt like I was going to vomit. And this lasted for a year. I gave an entire year not taking this medication. And the doctors were like, nope, it's out of your system. It's out of your system. And I was like, I don't know, dude. I think it might just cause brain damage because I've been on it for so long. Then as soon as I gave myself just a little bit, the 37.5, the lowest starting dose, it all went away. So that's when in my head, I'm like, is it anxiety or is it the medicine? I don't know, you know, but it sucks because, you know, I look at people, you're like not to have exposure or anything, but you're not like on any antidepressant. And I look at people like you and I'm like, how do you get up every day and you can get out of bed and you're not scared or you're not nervous or you're not shaking or whatever? Like that's so, it's so foreign to me.
I don't know. I guess I'm lucky.
You're so lucky.
I'm very lucky.
I'm so jealous.
I wake up, you know, I've had, you know, mental illness in the family, like from my mom's side. Mm-hmm. And so I know what it's like to have that uncertainty from one day to the next and not know. It's one thing not to know what's going to happen in the world, but what's going to happen inside of you every morning is like chef's surprise with her and everybody around her. So it was like, you know, you just don't know. It's very unsettling, and it is a gift to just sort of be like, okay, most days I'm going to be fine and I'm going to wake up fine and everything's going to be, I'm going to have a good outlook. And I didn't think about that until as I got a little bit older and realized that not everybody is like that or the low energy thing. Like I have a lot of energy.
I know.
And I don't, and I'm very blessed and I don't take it for granted anymore. I just think that's the way it is. You wake up and you got a lot of energy, you do a billion things and you go back to sleep and you know, but I'm lucky that way. But the one thing I did used to get anxiety about was my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, and I still do a little bit, like I'll just randomly start worrying about them or actually I'll worry about a patient. Mm-hmm. I'll worry about a patient and then they'll keep me up. It'll keep me up all night.
Really?
Like I'll be like, and then 99.9, if not 100% of the time, that it patient never, is fine.
And your kids are fine.
Is fine. And the kids are fine. I don't know.
Well, they say 99% of the things you worry about are never going to happen.
Don't actually come to fruition, which is great.
Never happen.
But again, it's like, you know, you're saying you can't really put that in perspective when you're on that train. You're like, but... And then my husband's like, go to sleep. Nothing's happened to make you think like anything like that. Go to sleep. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like doctors, like just in general, you guys have such a specific disposition. Like you have to be the way you are. Like, I don't even think that you can become a doctor if you have the kind of, you know, low energy or whatever. Like you guys work such long hours.
That's true. Have
to be like alert and awake and attentive, and it's like such a pressureful
there is like, especially during training, there's not a lot of sleep and there's a lot of pressure on you, so you do have to perform and you also have to cope,
and the weak ones fall off, right?
I think so.
Yeah, like when you were in medical school,
a lot of people in pre-med, when you start out in pre-med, you know, get weeded out. But I think that part of it is the courses are so hard, like organic chemistry or I would say physics. There's some classes that are
physics.
Taken
yeah.
that I used to think, like, why do we have to do that? We don't use organic that much, like very rarely in medicine when you practice medicine. Mm-hmm. And I realized it's really probably to see, A, how badly you want it, and B, can you handle stress? Can you handle being stressed out and having to assimilate a lot of information under pressure? Oof. And so it's kind of like a little weed out, like, can you do this as a bottleneck? So there'll be a lot of people who are pre-med when you start out, you're in college, and then by the time organic comes around, your second year dropped off by half or three quarters, you know?
That's amazing.
So
and not a lot of women either, huh?
Well, it used to be that way. My class was actually avant-garde. We had like 50-50.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Depends on the specialty. Like in orthopedic surgery at the time, it was 2% female.
Oh.
Because that's very like brawny. And then
you gotta be strong, huh?
Yeah, you have to be strong and pull and saw and hammer.
Oh my God.
My husband's an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, geez.
And derm was more, there were more women in general in derm, and I think that's still the case. But everything else, I think now is closer to 50-50.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you about how did you meet Tommy, segueing into a totally different subject?
Of course. Yeah. I've talked about it before. There's this like celebrity dating app, which sounds so cheesy.
No.
Yes.
I think you told me
it's
this.
It's called Raya. It's still out there. I mean, there were huge people on there. And I don't mean, I'm not on there anymore, so I can expose. It was like freaking Ben Affleck, John Mayer, like so many famous people were on there.
So like, it was a special dating app. So it was for like this dating app that people?
You had to be like vetted to get on it. And like, so I was single for a year and my husband was single for a year and his kids actually told him about it and were like, Dad, you got to get on this app like to get dating and meet people. And he was like, okay. And I had just signed up and he was one of the first people I matched with on there. And I was like, oh, Tommy Lee, like I haven't heard about him in a really long time. And I remember like I went to his Instagram and his name on there was like Mr. Tommy Land. And it like wasn't even like, I was like, it was like he had like 189,000 followers. And like, I was like, wow, it's like I would expect him to have so many more, you know, like from me knowing him, like growing up and like listening to his music and Motley Crue and Methods of Mayhem. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then we just start talking and we start dating and we kind of just clicked right away. Like he's just so, I don't know how to say this. He's like really easy to get along with. Like he's, I don't know why we're just like best friends. I mean, we have our own shit sometimes like everybody, but we're really for the most part, I'd say like 90% of the time, just best friends.
I love it.
And it's so rad. And I think if your relationship is like great most of the time, it's a great relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he really just is so, he's just a really like young spirit. Like he's, you know, he's older, way older than me, but he acts like way younger than me. So we get along really well.
I see some of that silliness in your
TikToks.
He's
so silly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I force him to be in them and stuff. It's kind of funny.
It's hilarious. I love it. It's
yeah.
It's dynamic.
It's weird. Like, and I kind of like helped him with the social media thing. I like got him his name on Instagram. I like had his name fixed to just Tommy Lee, got him verified. And then like I started like tagging, I was with him and all of a sudden like now he's got like 1.2 million followers, which is kind of funny. Not like I'm saying it's all me, but like it was just kind of funny because I had like 2 million followers and he had 189 and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm Brittany Ferland, you're Tommy Lee, you should have way more. Like that's the thing I don't get about social media. It's kind of stupid because it's like I'll meet these people that have like 17 million followers and I've never heard of them before.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone like, I don't know, Ronnie Wood will have like fucking 287,000. He's a fucking Rolling Stone. You know what I mean? And you're yeah. like, what the fuck? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to
no,
me.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And then we are practiced sometimes as collaboration. So I have different products
yeah.
for, you know, skincare or if I want, you know, to collaborate. And they would, most of the time I get approached actually for collabs. Some people
yeah.
want to come in and get a procedure done and then they'll talk about the practice or they'll talk about a product that yeah. I have, like Miracle Cream. But bottom line is, they might have 5 million followers and we get no
sales.
Wow.
None. That's how
like
you know it's fake.
Maybe one or two.
That's how you know it's fake.
And then we'll have someone who has like 180,000 followers
and you'll
there's
get so
orders
much engagement.
Like piling in because
it's
they
real.
Said yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's how you tell because there's this company in Dubai and I've never done it, but there's the people that I was on Vine with who now have like 15 million followers on Instagram and mm-hmm. 11 million followers, they work with these people in Dubai that just inflate everything. Their followers, their
really?
Likes, their everything. And that's why like you've never heard of these people or you have heard of them, but you oh. haven't heard from them in a while. And they'll inflate all their stuff and then they'll get hired for movies. They'll get hired for brand deals and all this stuff
yeah.
because people think like, oh, they have all these followers, but it's not real. It's not real. It's so fake and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It's really crazy. It's all bots. It's all robots.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you can see the follower. You look at the follower and there's like, they're just like little invented accounts that
yeah.
don't have like a real
or like
person
the comments will have
it.
Nothing to do with what's in the photo. Like they'll be like, oh, baby, you look so hot. And it's like a picture of a dog. And you're like, wait, what? Like, it's like, that doesn't make sense. So it's like so weird. But
this
yeah, so
true.
A lot of them are like that. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have any real followers. Obviously, they have some real followers. But a lot of them have fake followers. And I know for
yeah.
a fact that they buy them, you know, because they've been like, hey, let me know if you ever want to get in on it. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay $10,000 a month for a fake following. And that's how much they pay because they balance it out to like, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I'm going to get brand deals for $100,000 here and there. So if it works out. So I got to, you know, or get put in movies or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not willing to do that. I get the whole thing, invest in yourself, but not like fake.
Not that way.
You know what I mean? Like, don't be a fake. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say names. I could. But I
we
want
to hear the names.
I don't want to spill that much tea,
example,
girl. Okay? You don't got, you got a nice carpet. I'm not spilling that much tea. Oh, I just spit all
there's
over
no
your microphone,
carpet. We left the carpet
just
over there.
I can't name names. I can't.
Oh, poo. Okay, so here's my thing. Are you loving TikTok more than Instagram?
I love TikTok.
Is
I'm
it
obsessed.
Not the best?
I'm addicted.
Me too.
You guys, what is wrong with me? I'm 35 and I fucking love it.
I fucking
are we okay?
Love it.
Is it okay that
know.
We love
are
it?
Are you okay?
I don't know. Are we? Is it fine that we love it?
Are
I think
you
so.
Right? I'm
all right. Oh my God. See? You know what, though? I feel
everything
like
somebody says I can relate to a TikTok.
Are you all right? I'm all right. I know, me too. And I sing the songs, and my husband's like, what's that from?
Like, yeah.
And I'm like, it's
but
from
you know,
a
people
TikTok.
Used to do that with Vines.
I know they did.
My kids would do that, and yeah. I didn't know what they were talking yeah. about. Now I do it back to them with TikTok.
Yeah, and they're
and they're like,
oh
my God,
God
that's
like,
enough.
Mom, get out of here.
So, what? How did you feel when they took Vine down? Were you
I actually
like,
was so relieved because
really?
I was tired. I'd made over 10,000 videos or something like that, and like, it had done really well for me and got me an agent, got me like exposed with acting and all that stuff. But I went through like a bunch of shit with it because, you know, at the time when I first started in 2013, like, you know, I was doing all these characters that were, you know, like, so for instance, some of my characters were different ethnicities. And so mm-hmm. all these videos that everyone loved that I did in like 2013 started getting called out for being like racist.
Right.
Which is really hurtful to me because I don't have a racist bone in my body. I understand now and see where it came from. Like mm-hmm, I get mm-hmm. the perspective and how it could be hurtful. Like for instance, if I had like one of my characters was like a Hispanic guy. And he was like, I'd had a mustache and like I'd wear like a sombrero and whatever because I was like, oh, I wanted everyone to know he was like this funny Hispanic guy. But like people were like, that's a racist stereotype to have a Hispanic guy, you know, with a mustache and a sombrero. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? But like yeah. in my head, I was like, okay, so if I was dressing up as, if I was trying to be a unicorn, I would dress up as a unicorn and I'd have a horn and that kind of thing. And like, right. you know, it was just like not all Hispanic people are like that. And like, so I realized later how hurtful it was to people, but it was like never in my intention to hurt anyone.
Right.
So it was like a blessing and a curse because it got me really popular. But then they were like, okay, this is problematic. This is problematic. This is problematic. Mm-hmm. And I got called out on a lot of shit that I was like, oh my God, I'm not even trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but I did. And so I've apologized for it like a million times, and which is totally fine. I don't have any problem doing that. Do it forever. But yeah, so it was like very, like at a point when Vine started to end, I was actually a little bit relieved because I was like, wow, like I felt like hurt because I was only ever trying to make people laugh.
Right.
And then like people were like demonizing me and I was like, ugh.
No,
I don't want anything
it.
To do with this. Like I'm not a mean person. I don't have like a mean bone in my body. So like I'm out of here. You know what I mean? And I was an idiot with a lot of stuff that happened on Vine. I mean, there was a lot of controversy on Vine between Viners. Like, I mean, there was like a whole situation where one of these Vine people allegedly raped, or I don't know if he did rape or whatever, this girl on Vine that he was dating. And like, you know, it was so weird because we were all friends with this guy. And so some of us were like, there's no way he would do that. You know, just thinking that there was no way would do that. And then it was just like a lot. And then like people were like, no, like he did. And you know, it was just a nightmare. So
and
it was kind of like, then you get in trouble for that.
You got in
like,
trouble for
how
supporting
dare you
the
like
guy.
Stick up for someone, blah, 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 blah.
I see.
I'm like, but I like know this person. And I don't, you know, it doesn't seem like he'd have that bone in his body. But then I'm like, oh my God, it's not my place. Like I don't get involved. And maybe he does. And like, step back. You know what I mean? And it was just really, it got really controversial and it stopped being fun. It was just a lot of drama. It's like, why couldn't it have just stayed fun? It just, you know, everybody just got too involved and too intimate and there was too much drama. People sleeping with each other and it was weird. Yeah, like Viners were like, who had girlfriends were like sleeping with other Viners. Like I never got involved in that. And I was just like, wow, this is so weird. You know, it was like its own little like,
its own little world.
World, like the real world, but like freaking weird. It was just like so incestual in a way.
Do you feel like you're the same person on social media as you are in person?
I feel like I put on a very like, I don't know. I feel like I'm more engaging when I'm on social media. And in person, I'm really sleepy and tired.
Well, you're engaging to me. I've known you personally for a while
Now.
Yeah,
like, when I see you, I when I'm around people, I feel like I'm engaging. But then, like, when I'm by myself, I literally just, like, lay in my bed and go to sleep. Like, I'm very, it's so weird. Like, I have a very, like, on battery, and then my battery turns off, and then I go night-night. Like, it's, like, very, I don't know.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think all of us have a little bit of a persona on social media. Obviously, you're a million bazillion times more famous, but in my little following, there's like a thing that people start to expect of you, right?
Oh,
they
yeah.
see you and they're like even my friend, we were on a retreat and she's like, I don't see you like posing and taking pictures by the pool in your bikini. I don't see you doing that. Like, and I'm like, I'm with a group of girls. Like we're doing a weekend away. I go, I don't really
need to do that. That's
like,
how they thought that you were going to be.
It may seem as though I would just drop on the floor and do a pose for, I'm not saying I wouldn't.
I'm dead.
But it's just not, you know, like this is our time to be together and I don't want to stop everything so I can take a photo of myself. But maybe that's what it seems like I would do.
Yeah.
Because there are pictures like that on social media. And then, you know, just to speak to what you said earlier about offending people and not even realizing.
Yeah.
Like when I first started doing TikTok, I saw a TikTok where this girl put a fat pillow in her butt and did a reaction video of anyone in her family that she walked by and to see what their reaction would be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided I was going to do that here in the office. So I had my little jumpsuit on. I put a boppy pillow in my butt. First I put a pillow and then my PA said, why don't you put a boppy pillow? You know how like it goes around like a U on your butt. And it was a stretchy outfit. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I walked by the girls without letting them know that I had that in it. And someone else was videoing to see their reaction.
Yeah.
And they laughed. And I even walked in a patient room and she started hitting my butt.
Oh my God, dead.
But then some of my colleagues are like, you're very offensive. Like that is very rude.
Why is that offensive?
They said that I was doing cultural appropriation, that I was doing digital blackface, that I was...
Were you dressing up as a black person?
No.
You literally just put a pillow in your butt.
I put a pillow in my butt.
Okay, I have a huge ass and I'm a white girl.
And
you can see it on my OnlyFans.
And there are plenty of people who have big butts that are Latin and there's all different cultures. And a BBL stands for Brazilian butt lift. But bottom line is I wasn't judging BBLs. I wasn't
judging
any culture. I just took it down. I was going to argue.
Yeah, it's
but
exhausting.
But I feel like there's a slippery slope where you just fall down the slope if you try to say, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
That didn't even cross my mind.
I know. That's the thing that sucks is you're not trying to hurt anyone.
No.
And you're not coming from a place of malice.
No,
and then everyone's
we thought
like,
it was funny.
You're Satan. And you're like, what? I'm not Satan. Like,
no, I don't think
like
that way.
Kitties. Yeah.
I don't have anything against anybody. I wasn't even, and I live in Calabasas and the Kardashians are here.
Oh yeah.
I mean, our practice is here and I could be making fun of them and they're half Armenian. I'm half Armenian. So at the end of the day, it's not only limited to one subset of people, but it was taken that way.
Yeah.
And I took it down. At first, I was going to write a whole answer like, first of all, BBL is Brazilian. First of all, blah, blah, blah.
It's not worth
Second
it
of
anymore.
All, I'm not making a statement. I'm just trying to make my staff laugh. Da, 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 da. And then I was like, you know what? I can't argue.
That's why I was like so glad Vine was ending. Cause I was like, you know what? I need a break. Like it's the most like painful, exhausting thing when someone tries to tell you who you are when you know who you are and that's not who you are. You know what I mean? When someone else is going, I know who you are. You're like, you're not me. You don't know how I think. That's not how I think. So fuck off. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, I was ready. I was like, okay, this is fun. But I love TikTok because I just feel like it's more like the jokes are personal. It feels like so you can like make fun
of yourself.
And like it's more like personal and fun and like so I you know and I love it like you do them with my husband or I like rope him into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like more fun or with the dogs and it's more lighthearted. It's not as like
it can
be dark, but
you can tell he's having fun with it.
You know he acts like he's not, but he laughs so hard. Like I'll be like, will you do a TikTok with me? And he'll get so annoyed. He'll be like, oh, I hate, like, and then I'll do it with, I'll force him to do it. And then afterwards he'll be dying and he'll repost it. It's like so funny. But every time he gives me a hard time, he's like embarrassed. I'm like, who cares? Like, we only live once. Like, no one cares.
Just do it.
Just fun.
Have fun. Yeah.
Life is short. Enjoy yourself.
It's true.
Yeah. I love it.
So I wanted to ask you what projects you have coming up. Do you have some projects?
Oh yeah.
Coming
I just got done shooting the new Machine Gun Kelly movie called Good Morning. I shot that like last month. So I'll be in that movie. I don't know when it's coming out, but probably like within a few months or maybe a year. Who knows? You never know how long they take to edit these things.
Did you get to meet Megan Fox?
I didn't get to. Oh, actually, I did get to meet her. I met her at the VMAs for like 2 seconds. Yeah, she's very beautiful.
Stunning.
Like, it's kind of crazy to me. Like, I mean, even with you, like, you've had, what, 2 kids?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you. You're like, how do you do it? Like, it's crazy. Like, I eat, like, a cronut, and I'm, like, 500 pounds the next day. I literally, but I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, I have to be, like, eat one meal a day or else I'm, like, 500 pounds. It's, like, crazy to me. So, like, Megan Fox has had 3 children, and in person, she's literally the tiniest, waifiest, like, delicate. Like, it's mind-blowing.
I saw the pictures in the VMAs. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's, like, crazy. Like, so crazy. Not an ounce of cellulite.
But you're stunning. I'm sure you can afford to eat a cronut.
I mean, I have, like, I have a lot of heavy people in my family, so I have to be very, very careful.
You have to watch out.
That's the thing. It's genes, I think, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
For sure.
They can actually do a test now. My girlfriend had it done where if you have the obesity gene— They can test for it. And if you have it, it's like 50% harder to lose weight, 50% easier to gain weight. Like, your body just has certain genes. And like, so it's like, I get so upset for women because I feel like we see these girls and like, you know, even me, I fall victim to it. I'm like, fuck, you know, everyone wants to be skinnier. Everyone wants to be this and that. Yeah. And like, I do love that we're doing a lot more body positivity and stuff like that. And that makes me feel a lot better. But then you run into someone like that, you're like, fuck. Like, you can't help it but be like, God damn it. Like, it's like just unfair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, God.
Those people that eat 3 donuts, wake up in the morning, don't work out. They're just long and lanky.
My girlfriend growing up, literally every day, she'd eat McDonald's. She'd eat donuts. She'd eat ice cream. And I'm just like sitting there with like a piece of lettuce and like a piece of ham. Like, you know what I mean? And then she's had 3 kids and she's literally still this. I'm like,
really?
So it's like, you know, you can't be hard on yourself. It's a lot of it is genetic, I think. And obviously,
for sure.
Some of it is, you know, the way you eat and
right.
the way you know. But it is harder for some women, like genetically, to mm-hmm. be this.
Agreed.
A lot harder. So, you know, give yourself grace, you know.
I mean, give yourself grace. And then, you know what? Thank goodness for the Kardashians because they made it okay for people to have some curves.
Yes. Do you remember like 90s, what was in? Like the Lindsay Lohan when she was like with her
totally
with her
skinny.
Clavicle.
And yes.
Like, I'm going to never forget this picture of, what was her name? Nicole Richie running on the beach. And she looked like a skeleton who mm-hmm. they draped skin over. And I'm not body shaming her. I'm just saying she was very thin. And I remember everyone at the time going like.
She looks great.
It's fashion. Like, it's so fashionable.
Yeah.
And it was so, and like Kate Moss, like. So wafy and
Twiggy, what way
standard,
long time ago
yeah.
before my time even was Twiggy, and I think a lot of people will go after an ideal trend of beauty and then start to try to look like that when that's not their body.
I knew I did. I was in like I was in high school and I was already so ugly and I was just trying to be so skinny and I would barely eat and I remember counting mm-hmm. calories
Same.
And I remember
I'm still like that, right?
Keeping
you guys?
A food journal. Oh my God, are you? Is that why you're so in shape? I used to eat like boiled chicken with like broccoli with like nothing on it. Like, like what a life, miserable.
We had these diets. My bestie and I would put together these crazy diets with like, you can have half a pickle, 1 egg, 1/2 cup of black coffee, and like, you know, try to lose
for
weight.
Every day.
Looking back on it, it wasn't like.
No, it was horrible.
There was no problem.
You
but
were starving.
It's just a perceived problem. Like,
yeah.
You know. But anyway, but I saw you posted something about high school and being teased.
I was so ugly in high school, you guys. Okay, so I
Me
had.
Me too.
You were?
Yeah.
I want to see.
I was highly unpopular, except
really?
For me and my best friend. We're still best friends.
I had my best friend, too, and she's still my best friend. You know,
That saved me, I think. That saved
me. Yeah, having one friend that sticks up for you and you stick up for each other and, like, that's your rock. And we hated everyone. And,
shout out, bye, Zed.
Yeah, and Nadina, I love you. Yeah, so, like, it's kind of crazy because I had TMJ, and then I developed an underbite. Mm-hmm. As I got older, it grew. My chin, my bottom jaw kept growing, and my mm-hmm. top jaw stopped growing. So I looked kind of like a bulldog. If I put my teeth together, my bottom teeth were in front of my top teeth. And uh-huh. so when I went to get braces, the was it orthodontic surgeon, yeah, said, we are going to do your braces, but then you need jaw surgery, because your jaw, even if we give you braces, your bottom teeth are in front of your top teeth. This isn't going to work. You're going to eventually lose your teeth. They're pushing. My top teeth were loose from my bottom teeth. We're going like this, pushing on them. And so I was in high school, literally 16 years old, and I had to get my jaw broken. And if you look up jaw surgery, it's fucking horrible. And you're swollen for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what to expect. First of all, my jaw was so fucking busted. Can I curse on here? I'm already cursing. Yeah. Sorry, you can bleep
me
out.
We already broke the mold. Sorry, the thing with Brandy. Brandy already cursed.
So they had to literally break my whole bottom jaw, push it back, put metal screws in here, and then wire your mouth shut so you can't open your mouth for like 8 months.
Eight months,
because my jaw surgery was so severe. I remember when I got out, my face was this big, and they had the betadine all around my mouth, so it looked like I just stuffed shit in my mouth and was eating shit, and just my face was this big. My head looked Elephant Man. I was so swollen. My dad still has the photos. I don't know if he can send them. They're terrifying. I look like an Elephant Man, and I was crying, and I couldn't breathe, and my nose was like pushed up from them, you know, changing all the bones in my face, and they were like, you were one of our hardest cases. And so I had to go. And then I couldn't miss school. So I was out of school for like 4 weeks resting and recovering from this insane surgery. But after 4 weeks, your face is not going to go back to normal. It took 2 years for my face to stop being puffy. I looked like a chipmunk. So after like 4 or 5 weeks, they were like, okay, she needs to come back to school. Like, you know, she can come to school. And like, if she doesn't feel good, she can leave. But I couldn't eat. Physically, I had to drink everything through a straw. Because my teeth were like this. So I just had to drink protein shakes and talk like this. And there's wires holding my jaw shut. So I couldn't open my mouth so everything could heal. You guys, it was fucking hell. I mean, I got so skinny. But my face was huge. So it didn't matter how skinny I got. And then my dad, like, you know, you can only drink so many protein shakes and you start to feel sick. You're like, ugh. And plus, like, I'm like a little bit lactose intolerant. So this was getting like hellish. And my dad came home one day and he's like, I got you McDonald's. And I was like, yay. And then he put it all in a blender and blended it up and was like, here, you can drink it through a straw. And I was like, like, I couldn't even try it. It was disgusting. So yeah, so 8 months of drinking just like Premier protein and like all these health drinks and like liquids like chicken broth and, you know, whatever, right?
Crazy.
So then I didn't. So then this was like during my proms. Like I didn't get asked to either prom. No one wanted to hang out with me. Everyone was like, oh my God, monster. Like it was horrible. I mean, I really looked bad. And then by the time I graduated, my face just started to go down because I got the surgery when I was in like 10th grade. So by 12th grade, like my face just was starting to like be less swollen. But I swear it took like 2 years. I mean, I relate to like Kanye West Through the Wire, where he talks about when his jaw was wired shut and he's like, through the wire. I was like, oh, I know what that's like, Kanye. Having to not be able to, like, I had to talk to people like this.
That is so
brutal. For an entire year.
And they weren't nice about it. They were mean.
They were like, they all called me plastic face because they thought I had plastic surgery. They thought that my parents, middle class people, would pay for my ass to have plastic surgery. Are you fucking kidding me? No, but like insurance covered it because it's like a real medical condition, you know? And I see people go through it, you know, who have like the like long chin, and it still didn't even make my chin that much shorter. I thought it would. But anyway, it was a nightmare. It was hell. And I used to get bullied, and it's like, I saw the
and
funny.
And then now you've blossomed into
it's
this
so
stunning,
weird. I have all
woman.
These people from high school that message me and they're like, you look really different. Like, you look great. Like, they try to be my friend. I'm like, fuck you. I remember what you said about me. Like, frizzy hair and big nose and like my teeth and my jaw. And like, you would make fun of me and call me a witch and all kinds of shit. I mean, they were awful.
Yeah.
I saw TikTok about it the other day. It was kind of funny. It was like, I don't get bullying. Like, why are you mad that I'm ugly?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
How funny is that? Like, it's so true. Like, why are you mad? You're not the ugly one. Why are you fucking mad? It's me. Don't be fucking a dick. Like, I am the one that has to walk around with my fucking Joker face and my fucking messed up teeth. Like, why are you mad, you know? But look at me. I married fucking Tommy Lee.
Yeah, there you go.
So dreams do come true. birthday. Yay!
Oh, Nina's like, yeah, shout out. Nina shout out says, to Tommy Lee.
Nina says, I'm beautiful. I don't need any surgery. I'm gorgeous. Just
but one of the things that happens with bullying is there's two sides to it, I feel like. When somebody gets bullied and they're in a bad place in life and feel insecure, they get hit by it a lot harder.
Yeah.
And the person who's bullying sometimes doesn't even realize that what they said was
so hurtful,
painful. Because I'm still friends with my high school friends that I felt bullied by.
Yeah.
And, you know, A, because I'm doing well, they're like, she's my friend. She's my friend. I know her. We've known each other forever. And there's that.
And they're
so nice,
you know.
Also, like, if once in a while I bring up, oh, yeah, I remember when, you know, you said this or whatever, and they have zero recollection of that.
Ugh.
And or didn't mean it that way. And so part of it is that when you're not in a great place, you take everything totally differently and you're much more sensitive than you do when you're in a good place.
Oh, so, no, these people were specifically mean to me. Like, this was not something that I could have mistook. They would steal my books and draw witch all over them, witch face, plastic face. No, they would specifically be really awful to me. They were torturous.
Who are they? Because anyway, we are going to beat them up.
I don't even care about them anymore. They literally, like, one of the girls at the end of high school wrote me a letter and just slipped it in my locker and never talked to my face about it, but she was like, we were really awful to you, and I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't want to do it, but everyone else was doing it, and I wanted to write you a letter and let you know that I know you're funny and cool, and, like, that this was really mean. And she did that, and I won't forget that. I remember that, too. So, but fuck them. They were dicks. I don't know what their deal was. Like,
I don't think there was anybody that— like, if you start being introspective and see, did you also do stuff like that to anyone else? It's not my style.
Like, I was friends with all, like, the rejects that, like, no one wanted to be friends with. I was friends with, like, the kids who
the
wore, like, goth shit and, like, you thought we're going to, like, you thought they were, like, awful people or, like, or just dark or weird or whatever. Like, the kids that wore, like, Hot Topic shirts that, like, you know, don't come too close, I bite. Like, I was nice to those kids. You know what I mean? I was friends with those kids.
No, I think it does make you stronger, though. But I wonder if as you grow up, you don't always feel that little need to prove yourself to somebody or, like, you know, once that happens to you where you got bullied or teased, that you are always sort of having that as a slingshot for you to, like, push you forward almost. Or, you know,
I feel like I'm permanently scarred and, like,
Yeah.
I will always think I'm ugly. And that's part of the problem because I remember it all so well. And I remember what I looked like. And so in my situation, I feel like I always have a very low self-esteem. And that's why I'm always, like, coming to see you and, like, trying to get, can you do this? Can you do that? Like, I feel like that made such a big impact on me that, like, it's like, I just keep trying to hide it. You know what I mean? Almost. It's like, I don't know. I've heard this also from people who have been really heavy and then they've lost the weight and they're like, I still feel like that heavy girl inside. And, like, it's almost like it never changes the way your insecurity. You always remember, like, I'm still that girl with the fucking big jaw and the crooked teeth. You know what I mean? Inside.
I think those things do have deep formative emotional scars. They're during your formative years and they leave emotional scars. And it takes a lot of work to try to, like, reason your way out of it, but that is one stage of your life, I think, where you're just so impressionable in a way, and things hurt so much, and it's before you put your guard up, before you can use logic and all that. So I do think it stays with you.
Stays with people. It does. It really does.
And I wonder what it's like to be someone who wasn't like that. Like, I always wonder what's the insides of someone feel like. What does it feel like to be someone who wasn't teased?
Well, here's the funny thing, and I don't know if this happened to you, but all the girls that were, like, hot and popular when I was in high school, excuse me, but things have changed.
I don't think bullying is the epidemic that it used to be. I think it's been reined in, so this next generation, I hope, that is not being as cruel and mean, you know, and there's a little bit more social responsibility in this generation.
A lot more people, like I said, there's a lot of woke people that are a lot more mature, and they won't, and they don't hurt people, which is nice.
Yeah. So the benefit is there's a lot less singling people out for, in your case, it was literally a medical problem.
Yes.
Like that doesn't even seem
like you think I chose this chin. Like you think there was a bunch of chins lined up and I was like, give me that fucked up one. I will rock the shit out of that. Give me that crooked ass jaw.
Put it on me now.
Hell no. And you're gonna make fun of me for something that I was born with? Ugh. I was also born with clubbed feet.
Aww.
I was all fucked up. Mom, did you drink? What happened? I'm telling you, I was born fucked up.
I know, my mom told me.
Did your mom smoke
with you? I didn't see my mom a lot growing up, but when I did see her, she said, oh, I tried to quit smoking when I was pregnant with you.
Thanks a lot.
I want to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
One, what is your definition of beauty?
That's a loaded question. I mean, I could be like really fake and be like, beauty is who you are on the inside. But like, no, it's not. For me, I love a symmetrical face.
Shallow beach.
But I'm not shallow. I'm just being real. Like, if you have like, if beauty to me is okay, because I'm like, don't want to be like, I'm not Miss America. Okay, I'm not gonna fucking lie to you guys. My beauty is who you are. If you have a good soul, no, okay, whatever. Doesn't make you pretty. You can still be ugly and have a good soul. Okay, I'm not gonna fucking sugarcoat it. All right, I'm not gonna lie to people on the internet. You're beautiful. Like all those people. Like some people are not beautiful. That's fine. Okay, you can fix it. That's what you're here. Okay, I fixed it and you can fix it and fucking I don't care. And like, I don't get beauties in the eye of the beholder. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so like,
tell us.
Beauty to me is, I mean, obviously, yes, being a good person's a big part of it. Because if you're a bitch.
Oh, see, now you're getting all deep.
No. If you're a bitch, it makes you ugly. If you're a bitch, you're fucking ugly. I don't care how pretty you are. If you're a fucking bitch, you're ugly. Mm-hmm. If you're nice and you have a nice symmetrical face, a little bronze skin, you know, like healthy glow, look healthy, carry good energy, like beautiful, long, like thick hair. Like, that's beautiful to me, you know? Like when a girl walks by me and she's got like a healthy glow and a smile on her face and she's like radiating positive energy and just looks bomb and like the boobs are on point and the butt's on point and like the outfit's on point and her just whole vibe is on point, that's beautiful to me. Like, you know, not like if that same girl walked by and she was just giving me a stink face, I'd be like ugly, hideous, horrible, because it's not attractive to be mean.
I see patients and I see models and actresses and all these, you know,
and
people
some of them
here
have gross attitudes.
And some of them are gorgeous. Yeah. And then after you get to know them a little bit, some of that beauty, like that shine comes off of them with the, you know, if they're sassy personality or rude, you know, but and then, or entitled, you know, that kind of thing. And then there's the people that are just all of everything. They're just gorgeous.
I know.
Like you.
Oh,
and they have
you
a great
have
personality
that.
And
don't
they're funny and they're smart and they're just like really easy to be around. You just look forward. You see that their name's on the door and you're like, yay.
Well, mine was purchased
today.
So guys, so it can be you too. It can be you. I mean, I'm literally saying this. Like, I think
I'm going to take all the credit for her stunning
beauty.
No, but
do you remember that show, The Swan? Like, they would literally, like, take these people who were, like, hated their faces and bodies, and they would, like, give them makeovers. And, like, I mean, honestly, I feel like anyone can have a makeover. I don't think anyone is permanently ugly. Like, you can literally have any person come in here and figure out what you need to do to make them feel good about themselves and, like, look aesthetically, look whatever, better. You know? Like, I don't know.
It's true. And I think, you know, we're going to get better and better at anti-aging and we're going to have systemic anti-aging. We're going to have better and better procedures to make people look better. And we are going to start to really look at the inside of people.
Whoa.
Personality, intelligence, character, all that stuff, because we know that everything on the surface is changeable and we're not there yet, but that technology is coming.
Oh,
I think that when that comes about, it's not about who's young and who's not, because we can, I think, tweak nature to make us all have young, vibrant bodies and faces. And then it's going to be about what are you like? What's your character?
Yeah.
What's your personality? What are your values? And then that's like true.
Yeah.
To me, that's true. I mean, beauty is true too. I admire beauty, just not in people, because, you know, as I look at people, I really do appreciate beauty, but in nature and in, you know, everything, furniture, clothing, like all that stuff. So an appreciation of beauty is something all humans have. And I think it is something important And we can't try to blackball it like, oh, you know, that shouldn't be important at all.
Right.
Because obviously
it matters. And I don't care who says it doesn't matter. They try to be like, again, like so woke. They're like, well, yeah, like I'm not going to be, you know, stereotyped by a beauty standard. Like I think everybody on the inside secretly is like, okay, yeah, I think this is rad and this, you know, mm-hmm. and like wants to feel good about themselves, yeah. you know, so.
So I want to ask you, what inspires you?
When I used to do my comedy videos, I was always inspired by like making people laugh. And mm-hmm. that brought me a lot of joy and entertaining people.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older and I start to think about life too much, which I've been doing in my older age, not older age, but as I've grown up,
in the ripe old age of 35.
As I'm growing up, I'm starting to like think about life too much. And I'm kind of like, I get a little depressive and I'm like a what's the point kind of person of everything. Oh, you know no. what I mean? Like we're all going to be dead one day. No one cares. You know what I mean? As I got a little bleak.
Okay, but we were looking for something that inspires you.
I know, I'm trying to get there. I'm getting there. So what inspires me now is the fact that I have this life and I don't know what's after this. And so I have to cherish every single day that I wake up and that I feel good, because I don't have a lot of days that I feel good. So it inspires me when I feel good to really just take in the day, whether it be really looking at the sky, or really smelling like the smells in the air, or like just really appreciating every second with my dog, mm-hmm. or really just like, you know, just enjoying life, like eating and touching and seeing and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. That inspires me, because I'm not going to be here forever. You know, none of us are. And so I really, when I think about life a lot, and I, when I feel good and have a really good day, I'll just sit there and be like, if I eat a sandwich, I'll eat it really slowly and just take in
and taste
the entire
everybody.
Thing and taste everybody and be like, wow, like I'm getting to eat this sandwich. This is so cool. Like I'm not going to get to eat sandwiches forever.
It's like gratitude.
You know? It's gratitude. And so that inspires me, you know, when I, now, that's what inspires me, is when I have a day where I really wake up feeling great and I'm so grateful for it. And I'm like, wow, I'm so lucky to be here and get to have this macaroni and cheese and get to have my dogs and get to have like, I'm a weirdo, but like I think about that a lot, you know? I don't know.
What about, do you have a quote that you love? Like an inspirational quote? Is there one that sticks
Nothing
out
tastes
to you?
As good as skinny feels. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
That's fine.
I ruined all my deepness. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was my high school. That was Kate Moss.
Oh, Kate
that
Moss.
That was my high school journal said that. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Excuse me. You've never had cinnamon pumpkin rolls, Kate Moss, apparently, because those are taste pretty fucking good. I would say like, do unto others as you wish others would do unto you. My dad used to say that to me all the time mm-hmm. growing up. And it's so true. Like even in my life right now, like I open doors for people. Sometimes they don't say thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, I smile at people. We just went back to Philadelphia for my brother's baby's baptism. And the energy there is very different than here. Whereas like you're walking down the street mm-hmm. here and you'll be like, hi. Someone will say hi back. Philadelphia, you're like, hi. And they're just.
Really?
Really? Yeah. A lot of people, they call it the city of brotherly love, but that is not what it is. It's very different. And like, I was really offended by it at first. And then I was like, no, I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this because this is who I am. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I just believe in like being as nice as you can to people, because you never know like what someone else is going through.
You know what I mean?
Like, don't bring if you're even having a bad day, don't like bring your shitty energy to like the grocery store or like, you know, take it out on someone who you're ordering your drink from or something, you know, because that's not their fault, you know.
Agree.
So I would say do unto others as you wish others would do unto you.
I love that.
That's my quote.
Perfect. Oh, we didn't do the thing.
Oh, yeah. Let's spin your wheel.
All right. Spin the wheel. Let's see what we got here. Derm definitions.
Oh, great. This is a quiz? Oh, I didn't know we were doing quizzes. Oh, boy.
All right. You're not really expected to know what it means, but I want you to take a good guess at what this word means. Notalgia parasitica.
Parasitica, like notalgia parasitica? Is that like, I'm trying to think of the word parasitica, sounds like parasite. Is it, or like something superficial? Is it like, I don't know, like a nodule on someone, like a skin tab, what do they call those little pieces.
Skin tag?
Skin tag, yeah.
That's an acrocordon.
Oh, boy. Why do they have, like, names from, like, the other world?
Okay.
That's an agrodomdon. Like, you're like, what, why can't it just be called a skin tag? Yeah, why is it going to be, like, a demogorgon?
That's
like,
a very good question. I don't know why dermatology is like that.
Just give it a normal name. Call it a fucking skin tag.
Yeah.
No.
And then there's one more. Or, oh, well, boy. Why don't
wait,
we
so
go
what
to
was it?
Next...
Tell me what it was.
Oh, notalgia paresthetica is a little patch in the middle upper back that is caused by pinched nerves. So notalgia. Algia means pain or sensation, and paresthetica means like it's a paresthesia, means that you think it that you have a rash there, you think there's something there, but there's nothing there.
So it's a nerve thing, it's under the skin,
sensory nerve,
and people scratch it,
and then ooh, they end up with a little round patch of what they called like amyloid deposits.
How do you treat that?
We give capsaicin, which is
capsaicin's like
yeah,
I know. Yeah, pepper, yeah. Uh-huh.
And they put that on every day for 7 days and then dropped it twice a week.
And it goes
so
away?
So if you're constantly rubbing your back against the door jamb or whatever, then and there's nothing there. It's like a little pinched sensory nerve that comes over the scapula.
Whoa.
And it causes notalgia paresthetica.
Whoa. All right.
Okay, next one. Let's do a different one.
Learn a new thing every day. Okay.
Okay, wear it or tear it.
Wear it or tear it. That's a good name for a show.
Velvet tracksuit.
A velvet tracksuit? Ugh. No, okay. Tear it.
Tear it.
Gross. Trucker hat. I'm like, what is this, 2009 or 1999? Trucker hat again, 1999. Okay, what is going on? These are literally all like, this is like Juicy Couture, Von Dutch hats. Like, they're trying to bring them back. No, dude, they had their day. We are not doing that. I'm not paying $90 for a Von Dutch hat. Get the fuck out of here. I remember when they couldn't give those things away, okay? No.
Okay, so that's her answer.
Yeah, no. Hell no. And then Forever 21 bought Juicy Couture.
Oh, they did?
And they were like putting Juicy on everything. I'm like, listen,
do you guys remember when
guys,
Juicy sweatpants were the uniform?
A girl, nightmare. I never bought it, okay? It's ugly, tacky, never was into it. They would wear the Juicy sweatpants with the Ugg boots and the Von Dutch hat and the big Von Dutch bowling bag. What the fuck kind of outfit was that? I'm telling you, we were on crack in the 90s, okay? Because people were like, oh my God, I'm so skinny, I can wear anything. Like, so they thought it looked good, but it's like, no, does it look good or are you just skinny? You're just skinny, so... the outfit's not cool. Like, it's horrible. Yeah.
I had Juicy Couture sweatpants and sweatshirts of every color.
I feel, because you have a, you're that person, though. You have, like, a great body.
If I wasn't at work, I was in my Juicy
Couture. Yeah, because you have a great body. And also, they were cozy. It was, like,
they
a cozy
were,
thing, you know?
But you know what? No, not a fashion
No, we're not
statement.
Bringing that shit back.
In fact, one time I dressed up in a Juicy Couture velour sweatpants and top, and it had fur line and... I went trick-or-treating with the kids, and then they said, what are you dressed as? And I'm like, a Calabasas housewife.
That's hilarious. They were like, you nailed it.
The people did not like it.
Oh, my God.
The people were not amused.
They weren't? Ew.
No, they were not amused.
Boring.
Okay, how about leather jacket?
I mean, leather jacket's cool. I mean, here's the thing. I am very, like, animal-friendly, and so I'm starting to, like, shy away from leather. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving companies, like, there's this company called Telfar that's, I might be saying it wrong, but they're making, like, you know, organic leather that feels like real leather, vegan leather that's not made of real leather. And it feels like it though. And, you know, Stella McCartney's done it for a while and that kind of thing. So I'm kind of just starting to go down that route because I just feel so fucking bad for the animals. I'm even trying to eat less meat. I'm trying to like not eat meat, even though I get anemic. I'm like really trying to just not, I'm trying to eat the you know, beyond meat, that kind of thing, because I just feel so bad. You know, I love animals so much and everything has a soul and feelings in my opinion. So I'm just like, like I can't think about it. You know, it's, yeah, leather jackets, love a leather jacket. Love how it gets like worn over time and it gets all like, but then you're like wearing skin.
I mean, honestly, you know, you stop eating beef because cows probably have personality, but I have 3 chickens and they have no personality.
They don't.
You can keep eating chicken.
Yeah, chickens are kind of dumbasses, huh? They're just... yeah, that can be the screen grab. Just kidding.
They are not. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to talk trash about my chickens, but I'm just saying, like, they're not...
Do you just
they're
have
not
the
like
eggs?
Something you connect with.
You just like, have eggs, right?
Yeah, we get the eggs. Yeah. And, I mean, they're it's cool, but, like, you don't get that connection like you do with your dogs, for example.
I had a duck. Ducks are really cool.
Yeah.
If you hatch a duck, I hatched a duck from an egg.
Yeah.
They're fucking rad. Like my duck, his name was Huey. He was cool, like, cause they think you're their mother when they first see you. So they imprint on you. Mm-hmm. And so they just follow you everywhere. And they're just kind of like, meh. And then they're like really sweet. And they have personalities, ducks. They really do. And they'll come and they'll lay their head on you. Aww. And like pet them. And then my duck, like I did this in my apartment in West Hollywood when I was like 24, and then my landlord found out when it started like quacking all the time, and she was like, "Do you have a fucking duck?" I ordered an incubator and fertilized eggs off of eBay and did the shit in my apartment, okay, my little tiny apartment. And she was like, "You cannot have a fucking duck in your apartment." And I was like, "God damn it!" And Huey was only like a couple months old, and he was so rabid, he was shitting everywhere. It's true. I was just like following him with like a Swiffer. So then I called this lady who had like a farm like right outside of the valley, and she raised ducks and chickens and for not for eating, just for life, you know. Yeah. And they just lived there. And so I brought Huey to her, but it was really sad. But he would follow me around like little feet, like they love you.
They think you're their mom.
They think you're their mom. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brittany, for coming.
Thanks for having us. Say thanks, Nina.
I love you. Are so funny and so real. It was so fun to have you.
I loved being here. And you guys can watch, I'm in a show on Amazon Prime called Paradise City. That's out right now on Amazon Prime. I'm in a movie coming out, I don't know, probably next year called Good Morning. And it's not a web series. They're trying to sell it. But I just did a show called PBC. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the main characters on that, and that hopefully will get sold within the year. And so there's lots of crazy stuff coming out. But in the meantime, you can follow my shenanigans on Instagram, just at Brittany Furlong and at Nina Dewina Dog.
And don't forget to follow her on TikTok as well.
Oh my God, my TikTok. It's ridiculous.
At Brittany Furland.
Yay. Woo. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining
us. Yay, that was fun.
Bye, babies.